Hello. So good to see everyone in 2023. Happy New Year to all. Let me, I should have done this before, make someone, I'm going to make Anat and Belinda
Put my name.
hosts so they can let people in. And sorry about that, you guys. Here we go. So here we go. So welcome. It looks like we have some new people. We have someone who came on today twice. They're so excited for this. So welcome, Vladimir. You're new to our Volunteer Services Professionals Net Group. And who else is? Just raise your hand. Okay, M. Botwinnik and Michelle Squillis. We need to know where you're calling in from. M, we need your first name. If everyone knows how to right click and change their name and add their community and their full name, that would be terrific. So let me just introduce your co-chairs. They're going to take it away from here, but maybe we want to meet our new people. That'd be nice quickly. Belinda Lasky is Director of Volunteer Services at Alpert JFS in West Palm Beach, Florida. And Anat Paz is Director of Volunteer Services at JFS in Winnipeg. So we go from the warmest to the coldest area in North America. So welcome to the co-chairs. You guys take it away. I'll let people in and please just right click and change your names to add your community. That'd be great. Thanks.
Happy 2023, everybody. I know Inad and Lisa and I are all happy that we're starting the year off together. I do think, as Lisa said, it would be great to meet some of our new friends because we recognize a lot of faces, but we know Maddie's new and Vladimir. Maddie, do you want to tell us what your role is and how long you've been with your agency?
I started about 8 weeks ago. I'm the volunteer coordinator for JFCS in Southern New Jersey.
Southern New Jersey. I'm in Northern New Jersey, so I'm Southern.
So like the Cherry Hill area, Maddie? Yeah. Great area. Well, welcome. Vladimir, I know you're new as well in Detroit. Tell us how long you've been with your agency.
Hi, everybody. I'm actually in Wilmington in Delaware.
Whoops.
And I that's okay. And I've been with the agency for now 7 months. Just a few words about me. I was born and raised in Eastern Europe in Moldova and moved to US 4 years ago. Private, you know, live when I lived in Moldova, I was also working in nonprofit and also administrating or overseeing the volunteer project. So
Welcome. We're glad you're here.
thank you.
Think you're going to enjoy our group. Did we miss anybody
Is
else?
there anyone new that
Oh,
we?
Michelle from Dallas.
Hi, I'm Michelle Squillaci. I work at JFS in Dallas. I am the volunteer engagement manager, and I've been working here for about a year and a half, but I'm originally from the Cherry Hill area. I just moved here to Texas. So, actually, a small town called Berlin, if you're familiar. So,
Welcome.
thanks.
And Gary Oxfeld. Is that Gary Oxfeld? I don't think so. So here, you're muted. So, oh,
I'm
Jennifer.
actually Jennifer. I was trying to change my name, Jennifer Oxfeld, and I work at JFS in Allen, in the Lehigh Valley in Pennsylvania, in Allentown.
Great.
Were just talking about Lehigh Valley.
Because you went to school there, right?
Yes. Yay, Lehigh Valley. Let's see. Anybody else who's not ever joined our group? Did I see Rosie?
No, Rosie.
Oh, Rosie's, I know, been here. I just saw her waving.
Oh, yeah.
Alyssa Trumbull here. I'm with JFS in Denver, but I am our volunteer services manager for the Boulder office. So first time joining the group, and I've been with JFS since mid-November.
Great.
Hello,
Welcome.
everyone.
We love that when people are new to their agencies, they choose to join our net group together. For those who've been with us for a while, you know this is a great place to dialogue. For those who are new, you'll get to know that it's a great place to dialogue and share your thoughts, maybe kvetch a little bit, right? I mean, we always allow space for that. Sharing program ideas, talking about how to recruit and retain volunteers. We talk about things like recruitment, not just the processes, but the screening processes. We had a big conversation about that at one of our most recent meetings. So in general, that's what you're going to be hearing about, and hopefully you'll join the conversations. Anat and Lisa and I are always resources if you need us, so you can find us on email or online, and we all connect with each other too. We have a Facebook group that's, I think, great for posting and asking questions of, hey, what do you recommend about this volunteer program or that? So, you know, hopefully the new people will be as engaged as those of us who've been around for a while.
And we are also open for suggestions if there is any topic that you think we can all benefit from that is not super like small just for your agency. Please let us know. And if we'll find that it's relevant for the majority of us, then we'll bring it for discussion.
Today we have two main topics of conversation. These are also really engaging. So we're looking to hear from both, from all of you. So the two topics we wanted to talk about today are, what did you do with your volunteers, or maybe for your volunteers, during the recent holiday season? Hanukkah, Christmas, New Year's, Thanksgiving. Was there anything that maybe you've done in the past 6 months in terms of programming or acknowledging your volunteers? That's topic one. But keep in mind topic two, we want to talk about Volunteer Appreciation Week. This year, it's the week of April 16th. And I know we've talked about this in previous groups, but it's always a great way to brainstorm and think about how are you acknowledging and appreciating your volunteers? You know, do you do things on social media? Do you give away little gifts? So that's gonna be our second topic, but let's dive into the first one. We'd love to hear from any of you who might've done anything in the past 6 or 8 weeks in terms of the holidays with your volunteers. Oh, let's see, that's Jennifer Oxfeld. Great, I love when new people join right in.
So starting in November, we have, obviously we have lots of volunteers for lots of different programs. And when we do our Mazel meal delivery, which is once a month, I try to have little treats, so to speak, for my drivers. And in November, I did homemade chocolate chip cookies. Every driver got, you know, a little Ziploc bag with a homemade cookie in it. And then in December, for all of the volunteers, with one of the other people I work with, we made spiced nuts, and we just bagged them all up with a little ribbon and a little thank you and happy holidays. And as all the volunteers would come in, to whether they're working in the food pantry or with Mazel Meals or whatever it was, everyone got one. And they did, it's so funny, people really, really, really seem to respond to food. And
everyone responds to food.
Yeah. Even as little, it was a small, teeny little bag with the spiced pecans in it, and people just really appreciate it. So that's what we did.
That is beautiful. I have a question for you and for all of you. What is the policy of treats in terms of kosher? Does it need to have a hechsher, or can?
Well, most of our volunteers are not. We know them, and most of them are not. And depending upon what we do, if it's nuts, they're fine with it. You know, depending upon what the items are.
I'm talking about the agency policy, not about the volunteers, because it's are two different things.
Right. And you know what?
I can tell you that from our JC, it's like JCFS, doesn't matter if I have people that are not Jewish. So definitely the kashrut law won't be relevant to them. We at Jewish and Family Service, once it's from the JCFS, it needs to be kosher. I'm wondering if how is that relevant to you, or you can do whatever, like, if you want. Of course,
it's actually,
yeah. Please go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's actually a great question, and I'm glad you asked that, because honestly, I don't know. And it's something that I should look into, but I'm following the lead of people who were there before me, and it's something that I need to look into. You're right, and I didn't really think about
that. It's not criticizing. Don't take it that way. I am just asking because it does it does come with limits and some challenges, especially from where I come from. But at the agency policy, this is a Jewish agency. We are going to offer only kosher treats to volunteers. So it needs to be bought or it needs to be baked in a kosher facility. I cannot do anything out of my house. If I keep kosher or not, it's not relevant. It needs to be from a kosher facility. So how do you guys,
Ava?
Hi there. Happy New Year, everybody. So here in Boston, anything that we do that is to our board or our committees, and pretty much anything that we do must be kosher for our 100% for our clients, except in one of our food pantry distributions where it does not need to be kosher. We had a picnic, a volunteer appreciation picnic last fall, early fall, because we were in Boston. And they did not provide kosher food, but they provide kosher style food. And they made it clear that the food was not going to be kosher, but they didn't mix milk and meat. They didn't have shellfish or pork. So I'm not sure why that particular event was not kosher, but for the most part, we do kosher.
What about the rest? Yes, Rosie.
As a Jewish agency, we only provide kosher food for staff, for on-site events, for off-site events, and for volunteer appreciation and for gifts. We just sent out kosher cookies to all of our volunteers. We had them shipped. And the reason is for inclusivity. We can't exclude anyone. It's easier to include everyone by making it kosher. And that way no one gets something or is offended or has to give away something or says to themselves, how can a Jewish agency provide something for me that they know I can't eat? Mm-hmm. So that is our agency policy.
Anyone else want to share or add? Yes, Anne?
Yeah, so we do everything. It's like everything has to be kosher style. And there's a lot of controversy around this within our office because the majority of our clients and the majority of our staff are not Jewish, and those who are majority do not keep kosher. But there are a couple of people who are strictly kosher where, you know, they follow rules that are more strict. And some of the things that we choose that are marked kosher are not kosher enough for them. Mm. So I'm wondering if anybody else has that issue with different levels of kashrut and what you do about that.
I don't know if Ava was raising her hand again to say that there have been issues with different levels of kashrut.
With our holiday meals, we deliver for Passover and Rosh Hashanah, and we've needed to use caterers that the community in which the food is being delivered has deemed that that particular local kosher caterer is halachically high enough for a majority of the people in the community. And then there are like two households where we deliver from a different caterer. But it took some doing to find the right level of kashrut for the different communities in our area.
It is interesting to hear that it can be a regional issue or a community issue. And I have to say personally, when I was living in New York and working in Jewish organizations, it was strictly kosher 100% of the time. And then when I moved to South Florida, things really changed and I had to adjust to that. I was so used to doing all of the purchasing for all of my programs with, you know, the hectoriest hectures ever, and it really changes. So it's very interesting to sort of hear how things vary community to community in different parts of the country and Canada too.
Also in smaller communities, there are fewer options available for either finding for a kosher caterer or for getting canned goods and meat and other grocery items that are kosher. So, you know, in Memphis, we have some options, but not a lot. So that may be true in other smaller communities as well.
And along with that, Audrey, as you're saying, smaller communities might have fewer choices. That usually means the prices are that much higher. And I know a conversation that Inan and Lisa and I were having also just in the scope of what it means to run a nonprofit and work on a budget and the cost of living, all of that is always going to increase. So I think the conversation around kosher food is really critical. I know Melanie's had her hand up, so I wanted to make sure we get to hear from her.
Hi, I need to get my hand down now. Okay, there. Regarding kashrut, we have a rule following the Houston Kashrut Association, whatever their hechsher is, that's what we use. And it's interesting, in our staff break room, we have two microwaves. One microwave is strictly according to the Houston Kashrut Association. If you follow those laws and rules, you're allowed to use that microwave. If you do not, there's a separate microwave for the staff to use, which is, I thought, interesting. I wanted to just add a new topic or talk about what we do for the volunteers as like a little gift, if you don't mind, because there's a cute one that we're doing. We didn't really do anything over the winter holiday period because we have our annual meeting in January, and that's our tradition of honoring our volunteers. And this year, the theme of our annual meeting is 110 years of impact. And as our volunteer giveaway gift, we ordered a little measuring tape, a retractable measuring tape, which we have the logo of the agency and volunteers measuring impact to go with the theme of our annual meeting. So it's very cute. It wasn't expensive. And I think people are going to be excited about it.
Can you share, I guess it was Lisa, and she will send it out, a photo, so we can have a visual.
Yes. Can I do it after the call?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Thank you.
I saw Vladimir's hand up too, but now he disappeared on my screen. Did you want to share something, Vladimir?
Well, I'm coming back to the topic. I just want to say it's extremely difficult. Like, there's a desire to provide the kosher food to our volunteers, even to our staff. But being in Delaware, it's sort of interesting. On one hand, you're so close to Philadelphia and you can swing by and even buy there, you know, because there are many options. But at the same time, budget wise, we're limited because you cannot buy anything out of state. Like, there are state lines that prevent you from that. So at the same point, we only had one deli that was kosher style, and it just closed a month ago, which is sad. And then you think about how you're going to do the activities, even for the participants, or like now we're going to have the social gathering for Ukrainians. And, you know, I wanted to do something for them, you know, to have maybe like a Jewish kind of style, you know, cuisine, and, you know, obviously to be kosher, but it's just unrealistic to be able to do it, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So that's, if you guys live in a big city, basically we're jealous, enjoy it, have fun. Yeah, that's all I wanted to share.
Very, very good point. Yeah. Vicky, I know, had her hand up from Kansas City. How are things there?
Hey, everything's good. We didn't do anything really specific for the holidays, so I'm getting off the kosher topic and back to a small gift. But because we have pantry delivery drivers and food pickups and pantry workers that get out and gets cold here, we bought a a whole bunch of the Hot Hands hand warmers. And I don't know if you can see it, but we just put a little tag on it. I think it says, "Your generous spirit warms hearts. Thank you for the best volunteer team," and handed them out. We also put a note on some of them to hand out just as people are driving, because we do have folks on the side of the roads out in the cold and needing help. And so they can hand them out. They can use them themselves. They can do what they want. But yeah, something we did for the those cold weather months.
I really like that, that your generosity warms hearts. I like that a lot. Look, one of our other new people is joining us with a question or comment too. Maddie, I'm so glad new people feel comfortable to join our conversation. Where'd she go on my screen? I think you're muted.
I am, thanks. I just said we did not do anything in the past 6 weeks, but we have Kindness Week, which is the week of February 14th, 15th, 16th. So we are doing volunteer appreciation breakfasts for those 3 days for three of our large volunteer groups. And actually, we have a program called Soups and Sweets. I'm new, so I don't know if everyone has that. Does everyone have that? No.
Tell us a little bit about that.
It's in our disabilities department. So it's, I believe, young adults with disabilities. And
hold on for 1 second, Maddie. This is a great program to learn about. It really is. We were talking about good programs. I know Soups and Sweets. It's really a wonderful program. Okay, just a little.
I went to their graduation last week and I was crying the whole time. It was beautiful. It's a program for young, I believe it's young adults with disabilities, and it's kind of like a cooking course for them. And it teaches them life skills and kitchen skills and helps them get jobs after they graduate from the course, usually in that type of area. So they actually are catering our three breakfasts that we're having on the 14th, 15th, and 16th for a different volunteer group. So it kind of ties everything together, which is nice.
It does sound like something good to feature. Thank you for sharing that too. I like that idea of Kindness Week. Does anybody else do something else like a Kindness Week?
I've never heard of it. I think it's a good idea.
I think it's a National Kindness Week that we're just using.
It's what?
I think it's a National Kindness Week.
Oh.
It's not a JFCS thing.
I've never heard of it. I think it is an interesting idea for that. Looks like Audrey has her hand.
Audrey. Oh, yes. Hi, Audrey.
Hi, we have in February the National Week of Service around the MLK birthday that's coming up soon. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, another focus for us. We don't have anything explicitly planned around that, but it's something that we have that the larger community is very involved with. And we'll probably put our appreciation focus on Volunteer Recognition Week and month in April.
Since you touched on that, Audrey, with MLK, because I'm just speaking for our community here, our Jewish Federation coordinates a lot of MLK Day programs, and partner agencies like ours will have a project or two on those days. So Audrey, are you saying that you coordinate something specifically on those days, or?
We do not, but I'm thinking that I should plan something for next year, because I'm thinking like this is a natural partnership opportunity, and I'm kicking myself for not having planned something for this year, but I will plan something for next year.
I think that's one of the great things about these conversations is that we get some ideas, and you know, even if we don't do it now, there's 365 days later that we can do that too.
So in September, you have to put a note in your calendar so you don't forget it. You know, that's what the beauty of these Outlook calendars are, is that you can actually set reminders for months in advance. At least now you know my secret. Okay.
I see Vanessa raised her hand. Hi, Vanessa.
Oh, let me unmute myself. Hey, we haven't done any gifts in the last couple of weeks, We generally do our gifts during Volunteer Appreciation Week in April. And we do little like handwritten cards to our volunteers, and we'll give them something small. A lot of the feedback we got was they wanted the money to go back into the agency versus being spent on them. So we've done things like, but we do have funding that specifically has to be spent on that. So we've done something like a Wawa gift card so that if they wanted to give it back to a client or something like that, it can be used as food or something like that. We've done kosher treats, and we've done some of our apparel. So like they'll have a hat or a sweatshirt or something like that. I don't usually coordinate anything for MLK Day. We usually do something small, like a food drive. Usually the local college will participate. This year they won't, but yeah, generally there's usually the week leading up to it, there is something someone has reached out about needing hours or wanting to participate. So we do have something small that they could do this year. Hold on. I just have to follow up with something, but that was my input.
Thank you. I really like that idea about the gift cards too, about that volunteers often do want the dollars to go right back into the agency and help the clients. I like the idea of giving them a gift card and they have the option to give it right back, which is great.
Yeah, that was the big thing that a lot of people had said. They're like, they come here to help, and you know, they didn't want, actually the cards have been the biggest hit. A lot of people have liked it's taking the time and planning it out so that you can, you know, not rush. That's not something you can really rush doing the cards. So, but that's usually been what the most people have really enjoyed, is the actual card that me, and we have an RSVP coordinator. So she is in charge of any volunteers over the age of 55, and we'll do it together and send them out.
We gave during some of the deliveries, we gave a small gift card for gas, and the volunteers really appreciate that. With the cost of gas, none of them came back to the agency, and I get it. It's cost of gas went really high. They didn't expect to receive anything, and when they got that, I think it's the first time that I got from most volunteers, thank you, that meant a lot.
Can I ask how much the gift card was for? I'm curious.
I can't remember. I think I did $15 or $20 Canadian. So it's not a lot. It's not even half a tank, but it's something that, at least for that day, it covered the cost of gas. But when you buy for, you know, a big number of volunteers, it adds up on the agency budget.
I like what Audrey's done, the local kosher bakery. That's good. That's a win-win, right? For the kosher bakery and for volunteers.
We don't have one, so, but it's a beautiful idea.
Yeah,
everyone keep your eyes on that chat because there's some great ideas coming in. But we're going to call on Lynn now because she's got her hand up. And then Daniela, you'll be after Lynn.
Hi, everyone. Happy New Year. I just wanted to share also that along the same lines of some of the other soups and sweets and random acts of kindness, there's also, I don't know, I think it's in the United States too, but there's a day of giving. And what we did too was we had our staff get involved. We asked them to do some acts of kindness for our volunteers. So in turn, they were implicated. And it was really, really nice. The volunteers really appreciated that because it brought them an extra, layer of acknowledgement, which was really, really nice. And I loved somebody's idea when you were talking about the gift cards. I never thought of it as it's very nice. What we do too for Rosh Hashanah every year is we make a donation in honor of our volunteers' commitment to the coming center. We make a donation to our foundation in their honor. And they really appreciate that because they know it goes directly to the center and those in need. And we get a lot of responses from our volunteers, and how we give it, send the acknowledgement encouragement to them is we create a different part every year that's been, it's from the art room. So it's one of our volunteers who has made the card, not saying it right. They've painted in the art room a piece of art. And what we do is we photograph it and we make it into a card. And so that's the Rosh Hashanah card that goes out. So they also know it's from a fellow volunteer and they're contributing because that's part of what raises money for the center, all the artwork that they do. So it's give and give and give all the way around. And they feel really good about that, more so than a lot of the other things that we do for them.
It's really a win-win as well. These are really good ideas.
Yeah.
I asked how much donation you give. Like 118, 180, something like that?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's a lump sum on behalf of all of them because we couldn't possibly, you know, give per person. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, and they don't know the amount, you know, right. It doesn't matter. It's just the idea that we're supporting.
That's right.
The foundation, you know, and in their honor. So
yeah, it's a win-win, another win-win.
Yeah.
Thank you. Let's hear from Daniela. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you. I just wanted to say, like, all these ideas are really, really great. I love the idea of the gift cards towards Gaz or a local kosher bakery. I think it's great. Many of you have mentioned, everything that we provide to our clients, employees, it has to be kosher. Whatever we do internally, like between like just the staff, it doesn't need to be, but whatever goes out to the public, it has to be. And some of our volunteers are kosher. So we definitely, like someone said, I can't remember, sorry, we have to be inclusive of everybody and we wouldn't want anybody to feel left out. So I think like the kosher bakery gift card, I think it's like a little something that everybody appreciates. I don't think everybody would say that, no, they don't want a little treat like that. So I love that. And the gas also, I think it's like a very thoughtful thing to do, especially in these times. I got here a little late, but I think the conversation was about what we did with our volunteers for the holidays. We didn't do anything specific for them. They participated in our holiday celebrations, and we have a very, very nice group of volunteers, a small group that they're so devoted, and they wanted to plan a Hanukkah program. So that's what we did. And they were like, just that's basically for them. We feel like that's what matters the most, just to be included and participate.
Daniela,
yeah,
not everybody knows what the GEM workshop is.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It's very different than a lot of the JFS.
Yes, it is very different than a lot of these organizations. Yes. So GEM workshop is, we're a nonprofit, but a business, a packaging company. And all of our employees live with some type of disabilities, either emotional, intellectual, physical. So besides being a company and a workplace for these clients, we also have a whole sense of social activities and community that we provide for them. So every Monday, for example, we have our volunteers that come and they run either a bingo game or like some type of activity, an art program. So it's always the same group of volunteers. We have around like 10 to 15 volunteers that come. Not all of them at once, but the whole group is composed of 10 to 15 people, and they're very, very committed, and they really give a lot of their time and energy to GEM. So, but I actually love the ideas for Volunteer Appreciation Week. So I'm probably going to use all of those ideas for in the upcoming months. And it's great that it will well in advance so we can plan it out. So thank you.
For that, I have a question for all of you, like in terms of those that are doing some gifts, what is the budget that you're looking at per volunteer, and how many volunteers are you giving? Are you also going to give to those that volunteer only one time because that's the task that they did, or are you only for those that are committed over an amount of hours? So if you can share.
how what's your budget? You start. And not.
I'm asking because we don't have a set budget, and I was hoping to learn from you one. Guys. And if someone has, or it's just a card that has, thank you.
Oh, I think Anne was going to say something.
Yeah. And then, yeah. So I'm relatively new, and I haven't been through a full year yet, wasn't here last April, but I did see in the budget that there was $700 for volunteers, and I think that that was largely for recognition. I would have a really hard time figuring out who to give gifts to, because as I was just totaling up volunteers for the year, I had to count about 180 people who, you know, colored cards for the various holiday bags that we give out. And I don't even know who they are. You know, it's, we have partnerships with local schools and groups around here. And so it's hard to know who to include and not include, I think, in an agency that works with groups like that. And, that would be my challenge. I agree with the people who said, everywhere I've worked with volunteers, and I've been doing this for over 30 years, I always have gotten a certain amount of feedback. Don't spend your money on me. I'm here to volunteer, and I don't want anything for doing it.
I know some people have their hands raised, and I'm not sure if they're on this topic specifically, if they were holding over from previous topics. I know we're talking now about budgets and how much we're spending per volunteer. Rachel, you've had your hand up. Did you want to say something about this topic or something else? Hi, Rachel.
Hi there. I'm looking at a different screen, so that's why I turned off the video. I was just going to share, I'm new since July. I know that there was a spring picnic for our volunteers, but for Rosh Hashanah, I made handmade cards, and then I wrote inside, you know, basically we hit the lottery with you as a volunteer. And then we put in a dollar lottery ticket. So that was one thing. I will say, I don't know that I'm going to do handmade ones again.
Too much work.
It was a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And then for the holidays, this one actually just got returned to me. My sister had gotten a bunch of beautiful, beautiful cards, Hanukkah cards that were thrown out. And so all different kinds. And so they look handmade. And then we just wrote in there, thank you for being a treasured volunteer. And I ordered and I paid for it myself. I'm sure my boss would. We don't have a budget. But I ordered Belgium gelt that was kosher. And I couldn't put a whole bag in because then the stamp would have weighed too much. Because I don't get to see all my, I hand delivered where I could to my volunteers, but put pieces of gelt in with.
How many did you deliver?
I think I did 57.
Wow, that's a lot.
So, yes, but, so we have about 65 active volunteers right now. And we
what
do
is
want
to grow community. Your last name is Rourke. What is the name of your organization?
Oh, I thought it was up there. I'm sorry.
I see community.
I'm the community volunteer coordinator. And I'm
where?
But I work for three different organizations. 50% of my position is funded through Northeastern New York of Jewish Family Services. 25% of my position is funded through the Northeastern New York Jewish Federation, and 25% of my position is funded through the Albany and Schenectady Jewish Community Centers.
Wow. That's so interesting, that model, right? So she works with three different major Jewish organizations in her community, in your community. So
that is beautiful. I can just say that something about from our agency, we have one of the department is to support clients that struggle with addiction. So we, as the board decided, nothing to do with alcohol, gambling. We can never have those lottery cards or even in gift holidays. Yeah. There's never alcohol. It's everything will be grape juice. So we have the board have set some rules of what we can and cannot do. So,
yeah. I've heard that in other places too. Did you want to call on Jamie?
There was one quick other thing I wanted to
add. Yes, but I think,
We had a retreat in December, so the whole staff was there. And at the end of the retreat, the board members were invited to come in and celebrate. So that was a great way, because they're all volunteers as well. So that was a neat way for the staff and the board volunteers to schmooze and enjoy one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So many great ideas. Yes, Jamie from Nashville. I remember you said, I can't remember exactly what you said at the last meeting, Jamie, but I was remembering that you said something great about something you were doing in Nashville.
Well, thanks. So I was just going to comment on the gifts for volunteers. We didn't do anything over the holidays, which now I feel a little guilty about, other than we did send cards. We had cards that we were sending out to our older adults, and then we also sent them to the volunteers. But I wanted to mention, we had a long time volunteer. She had been volunteering for over 20 years with the agency, and she was moving. So when she left, she helped with these lunches that we do twice a month. So we brought her flowers and we had a special dessert, and I got her a card and had all of the seniors sign it and all of the staff sign it. And so just kind of that appreciation of all of her years of service to the agency.
Nice.
That is great. Maddie, I see Maddie up there.
On the note of how you decide which volunteers to give to, so we have different categories just since COVID of vetted, not vetted, and partially vetted volunteers. Vetted volunteers have to be fingerprinted. I don't know if that's agency-wide. Vetted volunteers have to be fingerprinted and go through a whole onboarding process. So our appreciation breakfast is only for vetted volunteers. So it's not people who have done it once or twice that do bite-sized events. It's only people that are vetted, fingerprinted, full-time volunteers. Also on the gas card note, that was also a very good idea. We do something called a mileage report that after they drive for us, they submit their mileage. And the only budget I think that we have for volunteers is that we pay them a certain number of cents per mile that they drive. So if someone's driving 50 miles to make a delivery for us, they're compensated for something for their gas.
But not the amount that is recommended by the government?
Is that amount.
That's a lot of money.
Or right? Around that amount. Yeah, I was surprised when I heard the number. I don't know exactly what it is, but I think it's right around what the government recommends.
Yeah, it's a lot.
We had to up it during COVID because we lost a lot of volunteers.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
But now COVID's potentially subdued a bit. Right. But yeah, that's an interesting question. And I think other people were saying the same thing. I don't know if other people want to talk about that, how they distinguish who they give their, you know, cards or money or gift cards to.
I'll add one more piece to that, which is before the pandemic, we used to do an annual lunch. I know I've heard some of you talking about breakfast and their lunches for volunteers. And then for the past couple of years, of course, we didn't do that because of the pandemic. We did Zoom gatherings. We played bingo. We did scavenger hunts. This year, for the first time, we're considering going back to an in-person. But to Anne's point and to everyone else, it's about how many people can you actually have at those kind of events? And interestingly enough, some of our volunteer numbers have surged over these past couple of years. I know some organizations lost some volunteers because they weren't able to do maybe in-person. We've increased by a lot. So our numbers now are different from what they were 3 years ago. We tried to sort of budget between $10 and $20 per person for each of our, we were doing giveaways for the past couple of years, like a little lunch bag. And there's like lots of little treats in here, including stuff that you've probably seen me show before. Like my favorite, We Love Volunteers. You know, it's like a jar opener and coaster. Oh, nice. I love this piece. And we have all sorts of other items that we've given away, like hand sanitizer. Anyhow, that's what we have been able to do for the past year or two. But now we have more people and we want to do something in person. So we're certain that it's going to cost more. And, you know, to that question about the budget, we don't have a huge budget for it, which is why those people who suggested gift cards, I think I'm bringing that up to our next meeting, because I think that might solve the problem. Might solve the issue of the budget problem.
Yeah.
I'd like to answer. So that question has come up of who do we provide the appreciation gift for? And we've done it based off hours, depending on how many we've set. We have a RSVP council meeting, and which is a group of volunteers who are over the age of 55, who are the bulk of our volunteers. We do have volunteers who aren't, who do volunteer quite a bit, but they suggested a certain amount of hours a year, and anybody at that or above, we would do it that way.
How many hours, Vanessa?
I don't recall what we did last year, how many hours it was. Okay. I think they base it off like an hour a week, so maybe 50 hours for the year or something like that. And I think that's what we did. It wasn't like astronomical, because we didn't want to, like, we want people involved. We want to thank people, but it brings up the question, like, we have groups who volunteer. Mm-hmm. We haven't done the appreciation for them, even though we are thankful for their help. It was more for like the individual volunteer that comes in mm-hmm. all the time. Yeah.
Okay, so that's something to keep in mind, the number of hours a particular person volunteers, and sort of base it on that. Jennifer.
So in answering the question of who we include for the volunteer, last year when we did our volunteer appreciation event, we did a snack and coffee type thing at a local coffee shop that's owned by someone in the Jewish community. So it was a little bit of giving back right there. But we invited all of the volunteers who volunteered within the year. And we went, because during COVID, obviously, we lost some. We gained some, we lost some. And we just included anyone who had volunteered during the whole previous year from, I can't remember if it was the fiscal year or the calendar year, from April till April, or exactly where we did that cutoff. And it was interesting because there was actually one volunteer who had not volunteered a minute during the previous year, yet she had prior to that. And when she heard about the event that we were doing, she actually called and said, I didn't get my invitation. And we said, by all means, you're welcome to come. We would love to have you. And then she actually did come back for a little bit, and she's had some health issues and she hasn't been back in the last couple of months, but she did come. And we were glad to include her, but we made the decision to do it, you know, the previous year to year from, I guess, the date of our event. I can't remember. I think it was the date of the event, you know, April to April. So that's how we did it. And we were a little surprised when the one volunteer kind of questioned and said, I didn't get my invitation. But we said, of course, you can come. So
yeah,
that was how we did it. And we do have a budget, we have a budget for the event. I don't recall the exact amount as to how much it is. It might be like 500 or something. I can't remember. And we worked with the local coffee shop that was very helpful, and they gave us a real, they're part of the community and they appreciate what we do. So it was a win-win situation.
There's so much to talk about when it comes to these types of things, you know, like what the budgets are, how many people we're serving, or, you know, how many people we're honoring, appreciating during volunteer appreciation.
You know, when I ran the agency, we had a lot of volunteers and they did so, you know, for a small agency, they did so much. And we used to have trainings for volunteers. You couldn't get them in, you know, no matter when you tried, 11:30, 6:30, no one came. And they always came though to the volunteer appreciation because they knew they'd get some food and, you know, get recognized in some way. And what we did is we gave them, what are they called? Awards that, you know, you created on the computer. And since I knew a lot of them, I made them kind of special for each person, right? So they would come up and get their award and they loved it, you know? So that was fun. But it takes time to think about, you know, what is unique about this volunteer versus another volunteer. Unless you give all the volunteers, let's say, who work in your food pantry, the same award, right? Saving Lives, Saving Lives, 2020 Saving Lives Awards, or whatever you're going to come up with. Because then, you know, people like it. Then you'd be so surprised. They put them in their offices, in their rooms. They put them somewhere. It doesn't always just go straight to trash. So I don't know. People like
it. I have one other piece related to this, to Volunteer Appreciation Week, that actually doesn't really cost anything. And it's how we outwardly recognize our volunteers. So I work with our communications team that whole week, at least, yeah, from Sunday to Friday, we do a social media campaign. On Sunday, it's about like thanking our volunteers in general. And then each day of the week, we feature a different volunteer from a different program, our food pantry, friendly visitor, mentoring, you know, with like their story and some photos and, you know, maybe a little video. So it's a great way for like the rest of the community to know the different volunteer opportunities that we offer at JFS and recognizing those volunteers. And of course, you know, we do something on our website and through our e-blast. But to me, that social media campaign, it's great for the volunteers, but it's great publicity for us too.
Yeah.
Does anybody else do anything in a communications fashion during that week or any kindness week? Because the giving and getting of ideas is really useful here.
But we do something similar, Belinda. And we do something similar. And then we also try to, because we have a monthly newsletter, try to randomly highlight, especially our long-term volunteers on our social media and or in our newsletter pretty regularly, because we found we get a really good response whenever we have them. So,
yeah.
And Vanessa says doing something in the newsletter, spotlight on volunteer. Yep. Yeah. Because that's obviously, you know, different from spending money on a little doodad, but it's about giving them recognition, doing something a little bit more public. We put a nice article in our local Jewish community paper.
The thing about doing those are it's fantastic, but if you're a small agency, it takes a lot of time, right? You got to interview the people and then you have to be consistent. So when you start something like that, you know, I don't know if you do it for 52 weeks and call it a day, if you even have the time to do it. We tried to do it at my agency, but we always, you know, got sidetracked and other things came up and it just petered out. But I think it's a great idea. And I do think that it gets people engaged and wants other people want to volunteer when they see that their friend did it or something and they're getting recognized. So there's some real positives to it. Yeah.
I will say, we've had some issues with the Volunteer of the Year Award. So we still have it. We still do it. But it's a little bit more trickier. Mm-hmm. And we do have, we're big enough that we have a communication team that handles the newsletter and it's only quarterly. So it's not every week that they're, you know, interviewing someone. And we always have it lined up. So there's a lot of planning with the newsletter as well.
Yeah.
So I can say something that in our agency, I heard a talk that wasn't relevant to volunteering, but one thing that I took out of it was about who we recognize and who we decide to feature in the newsletter. And it completely changed the way I looked at how we'd used to do business before. And it's not those that are the staller that will go and volunteer every week, because that is quite intimidating and not everyone can do that. So the opposite, try and focus on those that are volunteering twice a year or once a month, that you, as you know, all of us working and have families and hobbies and other things, you can relate to that. And if you see that feature, you said, oh, I can spare 2 hours a month to help someone. I can't do it every week for 2-3 hours. So immediately you back up and say, you know what, this is not for me. But once you change the focus of what are the positions that you create and create those opportunities for those that are willing to volunteer 1 hour a month and feature that, I think that can change the way we look about volunteering in this era and time, and definitely after COVID, and create more opportunities.
Oh, Lisa from Phoenix.
Hi. We also do a social media week, but something I've included is I reach out to a lot of volunteers and I try to get a statement from them about why they enjoy, what they like most about volunteering or why they enjoy mm-hmm. volunteering. And then we kind of post those all week on social media. And that, I mean, the volunteers love to be asked, and it also, you know, cultivates other volunteers. And then also this Friday is our big luncheon. And in years past, this is the first one I'm doing that I've attended live, but even in the past, they haven't really included the volunteers at all. And each year I would say, it'd be nice even if you thanked the volunteers, you know, either the chairs or whatever. So this year they actually, I'm very happy. They're actually interviewing one of the volunteers that I suggested to them. And they're doing like, she's getting a few minutes to speak. So I'm really happy. Actually, they did a video. So I'm really happy about that. So then the attendees who are mostly not volunteers or donors are going to see what volunteers, you know, why she likes volunteering and what the volunteer department has to offer. So.
Good news. Sounds like good progress was that made is. There, Lisa.
Right. Yeah, I feel like it.
Small Maybe steps lead to big change, right?
I know Lynn has her hand up, so I think we'll hear from Lynn, and then we're going to need to wrap up after Lynn.
Okay, I'll make it quick. It's just in response to what Annette said, I wholeheartedly agree that sometimes it's the people who aren't there necessarily as often who do need recognition for what they're doing, and people appreciate. Usually people in the community know how busy they are, and if they take the time, even if it's once a month, that shows a lot, you know, in terms of their commitment to enhancing the well-being of people. And along those lines, just to say, we try also to highlight, especially the last few years, somebody who might be volunteering virtually. So they're not even seen, right? So.
Leaving us with something very interesting to ponder. We'll have to hear more about that at the next meeting.
I feel like this happens a lot when we meet. An hour goes by so quickly. I look at the watch and think, wait, didn't we just start this conversation a minute ago? But it's pretty incredible. And again, I hope you all got to read through some of the things on the chat. I know we talked about some of it, and others are just great ideas. I'm so appreciative that people are contributing to the conversation that way too.
I just, by raising your hands, one of the topics that we, and when Lisa, Belinda, and myself met earlier, we wanted to see if this is relevant to you, the changes of volunteering that are affected by the cost of living, those that are doing pantry, is it affecting volunteers, the need to reimburse more? So is that a topic that is relevant to you? By raising your hand, just we'll know if it's, we should address it next time we meet. So it's not relevant to, you don't see any changes.
Okay, so if anyone has a topic that they think, oh, Rachel thought it was relevant, but if anyone has a topic they think they'd like to talk about, you know, please, please, please reach out to Anat, Belinda, or myself so that we can address it, because our next meeting is in 1 month, February 8th.
Yeah.
at 1:30. Write it down. You'll get an invitation around 2 weeks in advance. It's our first meeting in 2023. Or if you've got a great program that you think that other volunteer professionals could replicate in their communities, that we'd love to hear about that, sort of like our own little volunteer program showcase. We're very interested. So let us know, right, Melinda? Right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, Rachel wrote that she'd love to have a mentor to meet with. And that's always an interesting idea for a group like this, is to create a mentor-mentee type of program. So maybe we'll explore that through our next conversation together.
Rachel, why don't you, I feel bogged down by data entries. Okay, that's interesting. How do people organize? That's an idea. Rachel, why don't you write down what it is that you'd like mentoring help with, and maybe I can set you up with someone, right? And what kind of agency you have. Are you still with us? Yeah. Okay, great. So happy New
Thanks
Year.
Thanks again, everyone. Happy New Year to you. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Belinda.
See you in a few weeks. Bye-bye.
Happy New Year, everyone.